Father, thank you. Thank you for our kids. Thank you for your presence with us. You have blessed us beyond counting. Help us to be attentive to your word. Speak to us. May your voice alone be heard. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to start with a question this morning. And I want to ask this question as non-legalistically as I possibly can. Because I know that when you get a question like this from a preacher, it's like, wow. But here it is. How often do you praise God? Sincerely. If you were to rate the frequency with which you praise God on a scale of 1 to 10, where would you come out? Would you be a 6 or an 8 or a 1? Does it, or a 10? Okay, does it fluctuate? This is more than just my cup of life is half empty or half full kind of thing. It's also about more than whether you're going through a good time or a difficult time in your life right now. The point is that our lives either have a pattern of praise or they don't. A pattern of praise that is not dependent upon our external circumstances, but that is rooted in something far deeper, something lasting, something eternal. This matters deeply. And so we come to our scripture today. Here it is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Do you see the causality in that sentence? Do you notice the connection there? You are all of these things, chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, God's special possession, for a reason. What is the reason? That we may declare the praise of Him who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. Think about the Westminster Catechism. One of the first questions is, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And those two are actually tied right together. To put it another way, one of the very reasons we have been saved and claimed as God's children, one of the most profound reasons, is that we may praise Him. But the truth is, we're challenged by this. You know, we lose focus so easily. We lower our vision. We think things like, well, you know, why would God need me to praise Him? Or, you know, who is God that my praise is so important to Him? We lower our vision. Life weighs on us. And honestly, sometimes our own physical or psychological makeup may trip us up. But that does not exempt us from our very purpose. I love the way this verse starts with one word. Go ahead and read it. Say it together. But. Because we need to remind ourselves, but I'm going to praise God. I'm going to thank Him. He deserves it. And I will be happier if I do. We need to fight to praise every day. We need to hold on to our Savior and encourage each other with His precious truths. And today, I'd like to suggest three brief observations about fighting to praise God. First, we're going to look at the strategy of it. God's Word talks about the strategy of praise in several places. Here's one from Psalm 8. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Interesting, isn't it? Through the praise of children and infants. You know, let's remember this was a psalm that was quoted by Jesus. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read? From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. And think about this. Sometimes the army of Israel would put those praising God out in front of the army. Before Jericho fell, for 6 days, that is what happened. The seven priests, here it is, carrying the seven trumpets, went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the ark of the Lord. Well, the trumpets kept sounding. Those trumpets are there as an act of praise. And when what the Bible calls a vast force from many nations came to invade Judah, the king prayed, and after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men and women to sit, men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. You know, I was thinking about this this particular verse. You can imagine, what would it be like to be the person who was sent without a weapon but put in front of the army as they're walking forward into battle and praising God while you're doing it? That takes some faith, doesn't it? That takes some fight, doesn't it? I mean, it takes it from right here. There's a strategic pattern in all of this. We either fight the battles of life in our own strength or through God's. And God's strength comes. Our faith is built up as we lift our eyes above our circumstances and consciously praise Him for His faithfulness and the truth that nothing can separate us from His love. Point two, we need to be honest about the difficulty of praising God, especially if we're not in the habit of doing it. You know, this is one of the worst things about church people. Sometimes church people will say, "Oh, praise God," and then they'll go on and in the next sentence say something that's absolutely an abomination. Right? I mean, this is either the consistent pattern of our hearts and lives, or what are we doing? We're just kind of running verbal tracks through our heads without thinking. This is not easy to do. We have to be gentle here. We can never judge each other in this. You know, someone sitting beside you may be going through far more than you may know right now. If they seem a little sad, you know, our part is to love each other and encourage each other in this. Let's admit this. Sometimes we don't feel like praising God. We can admit that, right? I mean, we should. And in admitting that, we can turn that into a prayer. And as we turn that into a prayer, God will meet us in that place and help us with this. It's one thing here on Sunday morning when we're together. You know, it's easier And that's one of the reasons why it's so important, because it lifts us and it helps us. But here we come again to the reason for the title of the sermon. This is something that we have to resolve to do. And you see this in Scripture. You especially see it in the Psalms. Nancy, you mentioned a great one this morning, Psalm 89, I think it was. But here's another, Psalm 9. I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Could you just go ahead and read the beginning of each phrase? Could you just go ahead and read that to me? Just the beginning of each sentence fragment phrase. Wait, no, wait, just the first two words, I'm sorry. Just the first two. Do you see a pattern there? I will. I will. I will. I will. Why? Because again, God builds our faith as we do this. He comes to our aid in the battle. Please listen carefully. If our adversary, the devil, can beat you in this area, he can beat you in every other area of life. Why? Because of focus. Because if our focus is set anywhere other than God's grace and goodness and strength to help us and carry us, how easily we trip up and fall. You may be saved, but if you're not praising God regularly, faithfully, oh, how easy it is to become miserable. How easy it is for our faith to be limited, our spiritual growth stunted, so that we bear no fruit. Why? For the simple reason that when we fail to praise, our hearts and minds are weighed down instead of being filled with the Spirit of God. And Scripture tells us, does it not, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, the meaning in the present active imperative, the grammar of that is keep on being filled. And so Peter, a little later in this chapter, would write, or in this book would write, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Everything, whatever it may be, including that struggle with praise. Lord, help me to praise you more. Help me in this. And that brings us to the last observation. We need to praise God for the unexpected joy of it. Remember the reasons Peter gave for praising God. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. I hope you'll take the bulletin home with you and look at that again and take it personally. I'm chosen. I'm part of a royal priesthood. I'm part of a holy nation. I'm God's special possession. Do you believe that? That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. I love the song we sang this morning, I Belong to You. Because when we know that, when we take that to heart, oh, it lifts us out of ourselves and our own mess. And it places us within God's love and peace. God's special possession. That's not maudlin sentimentalism. That's what His Word promises us. And if you know Him, if you've received Him, well, that is what you have become. If you have placed your faith in Jesus and what He has done for us at the cross, if you have come to Him and said, Lord, cleanse me of my sins, forgive me and help me, and through your grace, please, that's who you've become, a child of God. And Scripture tells us the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And the more you and I fight to praise Him, the more our joy will increase. But the beautiful thing about it is that it's not a fight continually. That's where the unexpected joy comes in. The more we learn to do this, the more God helps us do this. So at first, oh yeah, it's a struggle sometimes. We get stuck in ruts, don't we? But the more we do it, the more our joy will increase. There is this gladness, this comfort that catches you unaware. There's a sense of His presence that believers from every century can testify to. And so Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. But for us to know His peace, we have to keep coming back to Him, to rest in Him in the moment. You know, the truth is that God exudes joy. It flows from Him. He's the author of it. He's the inventor of it. Scripture says that Jesus, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And David would write, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, for those who love your name may rejoice in you. Spread your protection over them. The image calls to mind a mother bird covering her young. David used it elsewhere. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. You see the contentment that comes from being close to Him. This doesn't mean that dark days won't come. This doesn't mean that our hearts won't be broken. And we as a church are to weep with those who weep and to mourn with those who mourn. But as we do so, the reason at the heart of it is joy. A God who loves us beyond our capability of understanding. I like what Spurgeon wrote about this. Last week I shared a little from his sermon, Joy, Joy Forever. And here's another sentence from it. Remember that if you are always joyful, you are rehearsing the music of the skies. We're going to be there very soon. Let us not be ignorant of the music of its choirs. I should not like to crowd into my seat and hear the choir master say, "Do you know your part?" and then have to answer, oh no, I never sung while I was on earth, for I had no joy in the Lord. I think I shall answer to the choir master and say, yes, I have long since sung, worthy is the Lamb. Will you do it? Will you sing to Jesus and fight to praise Him because of who He is and what He has done for you? I hope you will. If you're rusty at it, doesn't matter. Just start. And if you've never praised Him before, let today be the first day, because, oh, it just keeps getting better. I hope you will begin today by believing in Him, by trusting Him to save you, by looking for what only He can do. The reason He went to the cross, is out of love for you and me. And then we will all praise Him together until life's battles are done and our joy is complete in Him. May we pray. Lord, it's so easy to sound insincere when we talk about this. We have to be so careful. And I ask that You would help us all to praise You. Lord, You want us to, and we know that part of that is because You bless us when we do. But deeper still, oh, You deserve it. Thank You. Thank You that You're a God of joy. Thank You that You're a God of love. And in Your righteousness is goodness, and in that goodness is every good thing that You have showered on Your creation. This morning, if you've never come to Him, never placed your faith in Him, oh, we encourage you to do it now, because there's no one like Jesus. Every other religion presents a system whereby you and I must do certain things. The starting point with Jesus is we could never save ourselves. Our part is to receive what He has done for us at the cross. And if you do that, if you bow before Him and say, oh yes, Lord, I need You to forgive me. I need You to fill me with Your love and Your joy. Oh, He will. Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your perfect love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.